Welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor.
Thanks, Fred. This is Sean, and I'm pleased to present the podcast version of the most recent live performance of The Spotlight with Sean Taylor.
And it was a poker competition that was aired on the YES Network, which is the Yankees entertainment station.
Okay.
And it was New York, but before you boo, in case you're not from, you don't like the Yankees for whatever reason, it was New York versus Boston. So you could be a Mets fan, or you could be just a New York fan. If you like New York more than Boston, then you wanted this guy, our first guest, Matt Deluxe, to win. Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Merry second Christmas.
Thank you. It is nice, because now I guess tomorrow is like second Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Boxing Day? Does anyone know what Boxing Day is?
No.
I found out last year, 2006.
It's Canadian.
Do you know?
December 26th.
Yeah, the day after Christmas. And
England and Canada.
Yep, England and Canada. And it's where you give boxes to, like, say, the mailman. But you're supposed to have a box of cash, the doorman, if you have a doorman in your building. Do you have a doorman in your building?
No, I wish I did.
I don't either. Well, now then you'd have to give him a box.
Well, so I guess it's good that I don't.
Okay, so you give gifts to, like, servicemen, people who have, like, how you give a bonus to, like, your mailman or something, like that?
Yeah, I think it's the perfect day to do that.
The day after Christmas?
Yeah, and they get a day, and in England they get a day off.
For boxing then?
Yeah.
That's nice.
You know what I decided? If you get tired of laughing, you just squeeze that. And then, that way I don't have to squeeze it. Because I'm a pimp. I didn't know what the... Thanks. So, Matt, you were on TV for poker.
Yes. Yes, I was.
In case you guys don't believe when I say it, you probably want to see it on the screen behind me, right?
After weeks of competition, it all comes down to this. We've had six play-in rounds and a wild card game. And now on tonight's two-hour finale, we will witness the final showdown between these two great cities. Who will be named champion and which city will capture the coveted team crown? Find out tonight on thepartypoker.net. Boston versus New York Poker Challenge 2. Let's take a closer look at the team rosters in our championship. For Team Boston, it's Doug Frizzoli, Carlos Lovato, Josh Blanchfield, and Tina Cantwell.
I am battling in my mind a lot and thinking of chip deficit already. Going into a final table with a chip deficit already.
And the final four New Yorkers, Jack Abramchik, Kristen Bruin, Matt Deluxe, and Pete the Beat Giordano.
That's a lot of chips right there.
Yes, indeed. Matt Deluxe, our chip leader.
I've critiqued Matt a little bit, but he's got some moves as well. Matt's the Columbia student, as he never lets us forget. He's from my hometown of Brooklyn, New York, and his poker hero is the brat, Phil Hellmuth Jr.
I am a full-time student at Columbia University, studying pre-med and music composition. I subsidize my income through real estate investing and poker. I'm a musician. I've been playing guitar and bass for about 16 years. Eventually, I'd like to go to med school and develop a new form of music therapy. Everybody has their own preconceived notions of other people sitting at the table. I love to be underestimated so I can totally use that psychologically. Check raise, come over the top, really astound them and take a lot of their money in the process. Now I have so many desires, I'm like a powerhouse. I love to do. If I have a project, I want to make sure it gets done. Which, the real estate investing, the band, the poker school, school itself, Columbia. It's an incredible life.
It does seem pretty cool because you are doing things you love, right?
Yes, I am.
I mean, look at all that glitter I have all over my hand.
It's just going to get worse.
It's worth it. Well, so, did you go to Columbia? Yes. Or do you currently go to Columbia?
I do currently go to Columbia. I go part-time.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking the decade-long bachelor's degree, like 6 credits at a time.
Nice.
So I went to school when I was 18. I dropped out to do some other things, but I started about a year and a half ago going back to school to finish my bachelor's.
How did you get so good at poker?
I wouldn't actually say I'm that good, but I started playing when I was like 14, just with my friends on Friday nights when it wasn't cool to play on Friday nights because you're supposed to do other things on Friday nights. So my loserness paid off, I guess, eventually. I've been playing for a while, with friends and whatnot. And recently, past few years, I've been teaching poker with a friend of mine through like learning annex and different community centers in the city.
Were you always playing Texas Hold'em?
No. I first started out with a 7-stud, which is a different derivation of poker, I guess. But once the movie Rounders came out, like in the past 10 years, there's been like a huge explosion of poker, primarily Texas Hold'em. So pretty much, like when I first started playing, you couldn't go to a casino and play Texas Hold'em.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's pretty much all they have. Like, it's very rare to find other games there.
And also, you were 14 when you started, right?
Well, I actually was going to Atlantic City when I was 18 and 19.
Is that legal?
No, it wasn't very legal. A group of guys from college would go. They don't really ID you unless you win. So you always bring one person just to cash out your chips.
Oh.
So that's how you break the law.
How did you get known as one of the representatives for New York City in this competition?
About a year ago today.
Second Christmas?
It was on second Christmas. I was digging around on Craigslist like I usually do, and there was an ad for the auditions. It was actually an audition type scenario. So I went down to the first audition, and they didn't have cards anywhere. Like before they even wanted you to touch cards, they wanted to know what your history was and whether or not you had any sort of personality. Because they kept telling us, above all, it's a TV show. If you're just going to sit there and be quiet the whole time, we don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
So after a few auditions, me and a few friends actually went together to audition. And one by one, they were just all like, I'm not getting the callbacks, you're getting the callbacks. And they were all kind of pissed about that. And I totally didn't think I was going to get chosen. But finally, there was 250 people who auditioned, and they narrowed it down to 6. And I was in the final 12 and then the final 6. Cool.
When you compete in this competition, though, it all takes place, they mentioned it's a 2-hour finale. How long is the footage ends up being 2 hours, but how long is the actual poker playing? What's the poker playing time?
Well, just to give you an idea, the entire show was 4 days of solid, like the call was at 10 in the morning until whenever it finished, like one night we finished it at 10 o'clock.
Oh.
The finale started at noon and it didn't end until about 10 or 11 that night. So of those of the 4 days, I was probably just sitting on my ass playing cards for a good 24 hours, out of 4 days. I'd probably say between sleeping and just not playing.
You have a tattoo on your arm. Do you think that helped you?
Well, I mean, it is a Maori tribal. It was basically the Maori tribe of New Zealand and Australia. Their warriors get tattooed in this manner. So I guess you could say that, yeah, it definitely did help me, encouraging me to be the warrior that I am.
Did you get it in New Zealand?
No.
So you didn't take a couple years off, become a lawyer, and
between playing poker and surfing on Craigslist, I didn't really have time to
go. Was this the highest stakes game you were ever in?
This one was so far. I'm looking forward in the future to doing more like a World Series or something along those lines.
Do you have the $10,000 you need to join?
Not yet. The life of a college student is
And you're going to one of the more expensive institutions.
Yes. So basically what I won didn't even cover a year's worth of tuition. But
you probably want to know what he won, right?
Yeah.
We have that on iPod also.
A glorious host to our entire competition, which has come down to this. Matt Deluxe, trying to lead Team New York to victory. He has 670,000 in chips. Blanchfield has 280.
I'm still on tilt from the hand where my line. Josh took that terrible beat. He seems to have recovered his composure, but he really needs to recover chips. And now it's going to be one good card shove-in time for Josh. And he knows it.
Well, the king should be that card, right?
It's time.
He's all in. King, 7 for Josh.
I call.
Ace, 8 for Matt. The title is on the line. $20,000 is on the line.
Good call.
King 7.
Flop. 9-5-6.
They both flop gut shots.
No 8.
No real help for anyone.
The turn is an ace.
Now it's all coming down to the final card. Only an 8 will save Josh Blanchfield.
And Team Boston. It's a 6, and Matt Deluxe has won. He has led Team New York to victory.
You know, I really enjoyed going head-to-head with him. I think he's a player of incredible skill, and I learned a lot, and it was a lot of fun.
It's too bad we couldn't bring the cup back to Boston, but this next year.
As much skill as you got, it takes a little bit of luck to win this game. He was very short stacked at that point.
How many more blinds did he have if he...
Maybe 10, like not even.
Right.
And when you're paying head-to-head, heads up, that's real quick.
Yeah.
If you, I don't think you didn't see, obviously, but the hand before, I just, like, crippled him.
That's where he lost his money. Yeah.
And before he even saw the flop.
Yeah.
See, I'm learning the terminology in order to do this this talk. Flop. Everyone knows the rules of Texas Hold'em?
No.
What when people don't know the rules and you like have to lay it out in like the shortest amount of time possible, how do you do it? Because I met you when you were teaching people how to play poker.
That's right. The game of Texas Hold'em is like any other poker game. So you kind of have to explain the rules of poker. Mm-hmm. However, Texas Hold'em is a 7-card game in which you have 2 cards of your own, and there are 5 common cards in the center that everybody shares. And the goal is to make the best 5-card hand of all the 7 that you have. There's different rounds of betting in between. There are different strategies you can use in order. But the basic winner is whoever has the highest 5-card hand of all 7, or whoever is just left after everybody folds, wins whatever's in the middle.
That's pretty good. Is that a good description?
Yeah.
I do, because it's all the rage now, I do like to play it also. And it's, you know, sometimes difficult. Even though people know how to play poker, you just said it in the most concise way I've ever heard it put.
I've been teaching it for about 3 years.
Good. Do you like Josh?
Josh and I actually still communicate with each other.
Josh is the guy who came in second place.
Oh, he's a great guy. He's very, like, he's just an all-around great person, to be honest. Really cool guy. He's a family man. Lives up in Boston. Like I said, we converse by email all the time, talking about games we played and different beats we've taken or given to other people. Last I heard, he was in Las Vegas. He was there for 14 days. He won about 4,000, but he was up like 20 at one point. Like the day before, he lost a big tournament and lost some at the cash game. But still, if you're up, you're up. I mean, that's still a win.
I hear now with poker, the issue is online betting. That's illegal in the United States, but legal in Britain?
It's legal pretty much any other country besides the United States.
They made it illegal to, like, what was it? It was like a second technicality, right? It's like you can't earn money, or like there's some kind of like, banks or something?
It's not that you can't win, it's just you can't do the transaction between offshore corporations.
Okay.
And it's illegal to profit from gambling if you're not, well, because it's a weird thing with like national law versus mm-hmm. like it's illegal in the United States to profit from gambling. And municipalities can override that, like Las Vegas did. Like Nevada, as a state, is allowed to profit off of gambling. And there are certain aspects of gambling, like New York State has it in its law that it can profit off of the lottery or horse racing or other things like that. But as a whole, in the United States, the law is that you can't profit from gambling. And
how do you stay good?
I play online, just not for money. So I play a lot of the regular games. I have games with the people that I work with as far as teaching. And whatever I'm teaching, to be honest, that's an incredible tool to stay sharp. The best way to learn anything, I think, is to teach it. You're just constantly reiterating the basics of the game. You're really just honing your skills and memorizing the basics, which always helps.
So you won $20,000.
$24,000, actually.
Oh, because you also won...
There are different prizes. Like, the whole week... There was, like I said, there were six preliminary rounds that took place on the 3 days before the final match. And if you won any of those preliminary rounds, you won like $1,250. So I won two of those. Two of the three that I played, I won. So I won another $2,500 there. And just for my team winning, I won another $1,250 there. So I won like $23,750.
Each person on that team won?
Basically, because the winner was New York, everybody on the New York team won $1,250 just from me winning.
How much pride was at stake there?
Well, Boston won last year, so I mean, as far as pride with like within New York, we needed to bring that thing back.
How recent was that? When did that
come out? It was filmed last March.
Okay.
And it was on TV starting in May, and it was pretty much on ad nauseum on the SBS network. All summer, all anytime there's a rain delay, you'll see that pop up. So they are filming a new one.
Right.
So season 3 is coming up. I believe they're going to start filming it in March again. So they're going to start doing casting pretty much around now.
They're going to bring you back.
They haven't had anybody come back. If I do go, it'll probably just be for fun to like coach the other players, something like that. I'm trying to see if I can help them do casting, since I do know so many people who would be great on that show as far as representing New York and being a good poker player.
Yeah. Ask some poker questions.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is the best hand you've ever lost with?
Best hand I ever lost with?
Yeah.
Oh my. I've definitely lost with full houses.
Yeah.
I've definitely lost. I don't think I've lost to a straight flush. I mean, with a straight flush. The highest I've ever had was a king high straight flush. I still have not had a royal flush in my entire life.
Nice.
But
you had a four of a kind?
I had four of a kind.
Yeah.
I don't think I've lost with four.
Straight flush is higher than four.
Straight flush is higher than four.
Have you ever had the hammer?
Which one's the hammer? I don't know that one.
I looked it up online. 7-2.
7-2. There are many names for 7-2.
Seven, two.
We call the beer hands.
Oh, okay.
You're better off having a beer in your hand than those two.
Are there any other ones that have like really funny names if you get to...
Well, absolutely. Ace King is Big Slick.
Yeah.
So obviously 6-9 became Big Lick.
You have a lollipop.
That's also a there are all sorts of names for different hands. 9-5 is the Dolly Parton.
9-5. I was thinking it was going to be dirty. No.
what do we call two aces? We get two aces.
Well, there's so many different names for it. There's
rockets, right?
Rockets. Or American Airlines is another one. Uh-huh.
That's fun. That must be fun to come up with those.
Yeah. Well, Ace King is also known as the Anna Kournikova. Because it's AK, and also because it looks really good but doesn't do much for you. You don't really win too often with it.
I'm impressed that you were on like the Yes Network, which is huge in like the New York area.
Yeah.
I don't know where else they broadcast, but I do know there was a Nessun logo on the felt.
Sure.
So it must have been broadcast there too.
Yeah, this is like a joint production between the Yankee Network and the Boston Red Sox Network, which is the New England Sports Network, NESN.
Do you did you get the baseball tickets?
I did. I went to opening day last year.
Not bad.
Incredible seats, like 50 feet, I'm going to say, from Derek Jeter, from who plays first base for the Yankees now. Anyone? It was Jeremy at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But those were great. And then we had another box seats in their luxury suite. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a luxury suite at Yankee Stadium. It's enclosed.
No.
Like, it's pretty much enclosed behind. You have full catered service, like waitress service. They bring everything down to you. You have little TVs there so you can watch on TV while you're watching on the field.
Wow.
So you can, like, plasma in the room, unlimited beer, unlimited beverages, your own bathroom. That was the most incredible part of having your own bathroom at Yankee Stadium.
Wow.
Oh, you have pictures of it there. This is what it actually looked like in the suite. So that, like, there's all the rows of seats and
not bad.
The glass enclosure there. I'm sorry, I can't share.
It looks amazing.
It looks good.
It's also a pretty cool device. You just showed me that.
I wonder if we can hook it up in the air.
I wonder.
But
I have a baseball coming to me too that I never claimed. I'm sure I'll see the producer at some point in the future. I was promised an autographed baseball.
From the producer?
Signed by someone on the team.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Woody, the producer, really would increase the value of that baseball. But I chose Alex Rodriguez for better or for worse now. He hasn't been doing that great last season. But.
Do you get recognized in New York for being that guy that keeps showing in the rain delays?
It was really funny. The week after it started playing, I was just walking down the street and I had some guy in like a truck like pull over. And I'm on my cell phone, and like he just keeps staring at me, and I'm just like, you know, talking to my cell phone. And he's like, "Hey, you're from Team New York?" I'm like, "Yeah." So he's like, "I knew it was him," and then he drives off. But other than that, you know, in the card rooms, everybody, you know, who all the degenerates who actually watch poker at 4 a.m, they pretty much know what's going on.
What was the difference between when you usually play poker and playing poker on TV?
Not much as far as like strategy goes.
Uh-huh.
It's just a little irritating. Like, you constantly have to make sure that you show your cards to the camera. So every few seconds they'll stop rolling and they'll say, "Listen, dickheads, you have cameras here. You gotta show it to us." Like, because even if you have a great hand and we don't have the camera view of it, we can't show it on TV. And another thing was we couldn't curse. Otherwise, they're like, "If you curse, we're not showing the hand. So make sure you watch your language. We're not bleeping anything."
Why not?
They just didn't want to. It was a choice. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you have to change your decorum a little bit, but I didn't have any problem, right?
The bleep button is way on the other side of the control.
You mentioned before that you had to have a personality to get on the show. Did you, like, do anything cool? Did you give yourself a catchphrase? What would you do to make prove that you were a poker personality?
Throwing
the
pimp class?
Very good, very good.
Can you do that cool chip rolling thing where you roll a chip across your fingers?
I can't do any of that crap. I mean, I just learned how to play cards.
The water tastes better out of the pimp class.
It really does.
Pretty good. Yeah.
That's surprising. Cheerios would taste great.
That is definitely a pimp. He's eating Cheerio, guys.
Or your morning coffee on the Sunday, maybe.
I still have it
a bump in.
Yeah, I'm a pimp.
Well, are you going to be on TV again?
For poker?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I probably will be on TV again, but it might be in like a police blotter or something like that. That's right. Hopefully I'll be on poker again. I mean, I'll be in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is in the next year, to the latest, to play in the World Series. Hopefully be in the money, so I'll get some camera time.
You watch a lot to see, like, how you do, like, to figure out how you do.
Well, I'm always, if I'm up and it's on, I'll flip through the channels and see if it's on.
I play a lot of poker myself, and I used to watch, when I was really into it, I used to watch the Celebrity Poker Showdown and, like, and also the World Series. And I used to pick a guy, pretend to be him, and like, I'm this guy, I got 10 queen, okay, yeah, I'll keep it, oh, he folded, fuck, like if he plays it, you see how it goes, and you see how you do, but it's fun.
I find it more like a game show. I'm like screaming at the TV, I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
"No, fold it, you idiot," you know?
It's very stressful watching, you know, sitting there screaming at the TV.
But otherwise, to answer your question, I will be on TV again.
Well, I hope that you let me know, so then I'll email the distribution and we can all see you on TV again.
Sure.
Or watch a Yankees game that gets rained out.
On cloudy days, yeah.
Yeah.
It starts raining.
Well, thank you for joining us
thank
on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And you're welcome to stick around where we have another guest who also bluffs. Because you see how I tried to use that as the topic for the show?
It kind of works, but I don't know what he does, so...
Actor. I thought it was pretty smart, but it's so hard to, like, introduce, and they're like, hey, tonight's theme is bluffers.
You could say actors and poker players.
Actors and poker players. He didn't get the idea of trying to group
them. So I'm a sidekick.
Well, thanks again. Let's give another hand for Matt Buck.
David Luss.
So that's
Matthew
awesome. Luss.
Your last name is L-U-C-K-S.
Yes.
That's
wow.
That's amazingly like
parents either had a lot of forethought or just hated it.
Awesome.
Well, Matt, I think we're just going to introduce, since we sort of already segued, we already talked about what this next guy is here for.
Oh, before you do, you just mentioned the word segue. I found out today that segue is not in the English language. It's not in the dictionary.
Well, you're probably spelling it S-E-G-W-A-Y.
No, not like the device divide. No, S-E-G-U-E. Right?
Yeah.
I just had a conversation like an hour ago with my friend who said that he's using the word in a paper one day, and the guy's, his dad is probably, like, I probably had a brother dictionary at one point in his life, and he said, what is this word? And this is like, so it's a sidetracking thing, I'm sorry. But no, it's just something that's interesting. He's like, oh, that word's not in the dictionary. And my friend Brian was like, I don't know why, of course it is, it's a real word. He's like, no, I bet you it's not. And he went there, it wasn't in the dictionary. No spelling of it was in the dictionary. As of, you know, however many years ago, I'm sure now it is, because it's accepted as modern, but it's a modern word.
See, I heard that it's pronounced two ways that are acceptable. One is seg, and the other is segue, you know, which makes it probably a foreign word.
Oh.
That's probably French again, right? We don't know how to speak French.
So we're just almost pronouncing as a French word, and that's how it became an English word?
What do you think? It's a French word?
Sure.
Sounds French.
Maybe someone tore that page out of the dictionary.
No, maybe. Yeah. Everything from semen to whatever. S E word.
How about this? From semen to our next guest. Please welcome Sundance Channel's Dave Hill. You like that segue?
Yeah.
Did you know that, though, that word's not in the dictionary?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You were on a show for your acting, right?
Well, it's just a video they play, just by itself.
So it's like on the Sundance Channel, they play
shorts. They have nothing
shorts.
Else to play. They play this, the video.
All right, let's see what this is.
Let the weight of your head really go. Good. Breathe and go, ma. Good. Breathe again and go, Like you just had a taste of something delicious. What do you like to eat? Something delicious.
Candy.
Okay, imagine your favorite piece of candy. And go, my name is Dave.
My name is Dave.
Wow, good for you. Excellent. Tuesday, March 25th, 2006, 1:14 p.m. Today was the most exciting and important day of my entire show business career. In my ongoing quest to become North America's foremost actor and entertainer in general, I spent the day with the top expert in something called Actors Movement at the one and only Actors Movement Studio here in New York City. Why, you ask? Well, in addition to being a really important component in show business mastery, people like James Gandolfini from the hit TV series The Sopranos, as well as Hollywood's Calista Flockhart, have studied here with Mr. Ted Marin, who is the master of this incredible art form. I would now like to share with you some of the highlights from my incredible day with Ted. Even more exciting is the fact that this is but one chapter in my ongoing mission to learn from the masters and become pretty fucking sweet at pretty much everything there is to be pretty fucking sweet at. I'm Dave Hill, and I'm here with Ted Marin from the Actors Movement Studio. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. Ted, let's pretend I don't know anything about acting.
Yeah.
that's on the Sundance Channel.
I don't know. TV.
How did that come about?
I did it. A friend of mine. I make videos all the time on my own, and then a friend of mine wanted to make some more videos.
Mm-hmm.
So she set it up. She's like, you should do a video with this thing, this actors movement thing, which is this. I don't know. It's something. If you're an actor, I guess they teach you all these things so you can be better at acting.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the semester in like 2 hours, the whole semester, and it was right around here, summer school right around here, that I mentioned in the thing, and he had me rolling around and groaning and doing all these things, and it was really exciting. I could see how it could be helpful for someone, but I don't know. For like Shakespearean, like serious pro actor people.
Look, Calista Flockhart and James Gandolfini.
People that are great at acting.
Do you own that headshot of Calista Flockhart?
No, I think that's from the internet. I would like to, but that picture of me is my headshot.
You own the headshot.
I own that.
And you signed it.
But we made a couple of videos one day, that and we did this other video, and done the Sundance Channel, just bought them.
So do you,
and,
how does Sundance Channel work? Like, do they show movies?
I've never seen it, to be honest.
Has anyone seen the Sundance Channel here? I mean, there's a lot of channels.
I think it's reputable. They show like things of merit.
I'm assuming it's named after Robert Redford's character in Butch Cassidy, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's good.
Yeah.
They show movies, I think, things that transcend time and space.
I thought it was something like movies from the Sundance Film Festival. That was my thought.
That's probably it.
Might be.
That makes more sense than what I said. I think it's like, just like quality programming. I think that's what they specialize in.
So you've been on TV, and but it didn't mean enough to you to like constantly be watching that channel.
Well, I don't have a TV.
At all?
No, I'm gonna get one.
So like one of those people that like refuses to get a TV in the principal.
No, it has neither.
Oh.
I don't know why. I just never got around. I had a roommate,
mm-hmm.
and she had a TV that was in the living room, so in a way I had a TV. And but then I moved in November, and I don't have a TV now. But I want to get one because I think I should like keep up on things.
Well, you've been on TV several times.
Yeah.
So, what were the
other programs?
Yeah, like what for doing what? And were they your own films?
No. First thing I was on was the show Smoking Gun TV on Court TV, which the show's canceled. But I was on it. Well, actually, it's pretty great. The show, what happened was, the show wasn't canceled originally. Every day, everyone with puppets. For real. They were like, we're waiting to hear, like, we're going to do more of this show. And we're like, God, I hope we get to do more of that show we did. And then we heard they're like, well, they're going to do more, but instead of you people, we're going to reenact everything with puppets. So, it was kind of, the Smoking Gun website?
Yes.
They like take stories from there, like, and then they spin them off into these other things. Like, I did a story on, the New Jersey Turnpike. Like, when you go through the toll booths, like, apparently the toll booth operators are swearing at everybody and saying all these amazing things, like, like just insulting people and stuff. Because I remember we saw, well, anyone can see it, it's on the internet, on the Smoking Gun website. And so then they had me drive, like hook me up with the glasses with the camera.
Yeah.
And then they it was the most fun I've had ever, pretty much. Because they got me an SUV with like a camera here, like all these cameras, basically. And they just had me drive around New Jersey for hours being an idiot to tow booth operators. Like just being, not mean, because I'd feel bad, but they basically tried to get me to annoy them until they would start yelling at me. And that was like a good way to make money. Like a good job. Not that I wasn't mean, but like they just, but so it was just basically acting like a 12-year-old. So, someone finally COVID will yell at me. But they're actually most of them pretty nice. I felt pretty bad because I wouldn't want to really be mean. But they didn't want me to be mean to them. They just wanted me to like stay in the window for as long as possible. And so I did that. And then another video I did was on how to hide drugs.
Like how to hide drugs?
Because people do things like hide them under fat rolls and stuff, so they had me interviewing all these like doctors and policemen on what you could do, like swallowing things, shoving things, the various things.
Policemen were giving tips on how to do these things?
Sort of like giving examples on, well, the doctor would say like this, but not, don't do that. So that was what that show was like. It was kind of like The Daily Show in a way, sort of that sense sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that was one show that I was on, like I canceled. And then found some other canceled.
You also have music talent.
I play music, yeah.
I think both the people on the couch now are in bands or were in bands, right?
Mm-hmm.
What genre of music?
Can't stop rocking.
Could have been. But the reason why I have the clips are poker related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I always did that. That's the first one I was on TV was music, actually.
For what band?
My first band, we had a video on MTV. Like 3 a.m. So
not
that was a big treat for the folks. Oh, and I was on that Jon Stewart show when he had a talk show.
Yeah.
I was on that show.
The MTV one, like back in the day?
The Fox. The one after that.
Okay.
So those were exciting. My first brush with the magic of television.
Did it draw you towards it and continue to go down that path?
I think so, and not those particular experiences, but I think just the need for attention, maybe.
I can relate.
You know.
Pimpless. Thanks. You won't laugh any time I mention the pimpless.
I like it because when I was sitting over there, this blue light made it look like the pimp class itself emanated a blue light.
That's pretty cool.
Because so I thought it looks better that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's magical.
It's a better pimp class.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nice.
Thanks.
But it's not working now because now everyone knows the blue light's coming from there. But before, I didn't know.
They all still think I'm a pimp.
They do. Well, you didn't need the glass for that.
So, I ended up taking another piece of that clip from you acting.
Oh,
you want to see it?
I've seen it. No, I would love to. I'm totally down a lot, but.
We're going to have a little 17th century party together. Great. Doesn't that sound great? How do those feel?
Great.
Okay.
How do they look?
They look really good. This is Baroque, okay?
That's good. Are you going to have a cool hat too?
Yeah, I'm going to wear the green hat.
This is a sweet party so far, I can tell you that.
So you don't hurt yourself. Do you know what snuff is?
Yeah, snuff is really finely ground tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
That was really big in that time, but I'm not going to give you your snuff just yet because you don't have a pocket.
I could just stick it in.
You could stick it right
there.
I mean,
if we're going to have a party, we should have a party.
There you go.
With snuff and everything.
We're going to have our little improv now.
Okay.
Okay? So just go for a walk. You don't see me. You can stop and stand anytime. Check out any of the beautiful women who are here this evening.
There's Nell Gwyn. I'm going to bang her later.
Oh. Oh, look. See, we see each other. Now, you would say your name.
Sir William, Duke of Orange.
Sir William, Duke of Orange. Charles II, King of England.
Charles II, King of England.
Now we're going to bow together. You ready? For preparation. You say Your Majesty as you bow, I'll say Sir William. Go. Sir William.
Sir Majesty.
Your Majesty. Would you like a little snuff, Sir William?
Yeah.
Yes?
This is a great party, Your Majesty.
Thank you very much.
Let's have some snuff.
Take your snuff box out.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting.
What kind of party is this?
So, tell me something, Sir William.
What, Your Majesty?
A joke. I'm getting bored, Sir William. Can't you make me laugh?
What's the difference between me and a 747?
What's the difference between you and a 747?
Not everyone's been inside a 747. That's a pretty good joke, though. That's why Sir William gets invited to parties all the time.
Well, Sir William, it was a pleasure seeing you this evening.
It's great seeing you too, Charles II.
You ready to say goodbye?
We just started having fun, though.
One pimp to another.
Where did you get that?
I got it for Second Christmas from
Little Christmas.
Little Christmas. Now I need to find out what Little Christmas is. But
it's Little Christmas though, right?
You heard of it before?
No, just earlier in the show.
Well, Little Christmas is something that Catholicism has.
But you were calling it Second, no.
Yeah, Second Christmas.
It's both.
Oh.
I don't know, I'm asking. Is it
Did you invent Second Christmas, or...?
No, my question... Oh. Well, wait, you're right, though.
By the way,
I'm wondering, are you calling it Second Christmas by accident? I'm not trying to...
My friend called it Second Christmas.
My question is, is it known as both?
I don't know.
Did you and your friends invent Second Christmas, and then coincidentally, is this thing called Little Christmas? Or is Second Christmas some kind of loose interpretation of... Little Christmas that you guys have adopted?
I mean, we have some of the members of Second Christmas here. Do we know the answers to these questions?
Second Christmas is an opportunity to get together after First Christmas and exchange gifts that you didn't get to give during First Christmas.
But I just
sent out my first Christmas gifts this week. I did.
First Christmas present sent out during Second Christmas time.
Yeah.
Well, me and my friends, we get together in late January, and it's really, really fun. But, and then I get to bring all the gifts onto the show.
Are all the gifts of the gag variety?
What do you mean gag variety? These are good.
I do not mean to insult your gifts in any way, but you have a laughing, what looks like a Easter egg. With legs and arms, a pink glass, and a giant
lollipop.
I love
my wiener.
I love my wiener.
Everyone's got one of those. Those are actually pretty great gifts.
That's what I thought too.
Now that I'm seeing them together. I mean, I've never seen them apart either. They cover all the bases pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, that's the same about it. But they sort of do. They're all a lot of fun.
That's right, and Second Christmas is a lot of fun too. I mean, technically today, I mean, it started after midnight, so today is sort of today.
Yesterday?
It started after midnight, I think.
Yeah. Is it supposed to be on the 25th, like exactly a month after Christmas?
No.
Nope, total coincidence.
So it's 28th?
Today? Moves on.
Wait, it's general?
Whenever everyone's available.
Yeah.
Convenience.
Oh, okay. So it's like Thanksgiving, it floats.
Yeah.
Less. Yeah, even less.
The fourth Sunday of every month?
January, sometimes February.
Yeah.
I had a friend in that.
I did that. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I had a friend the same thing. All the friends, they don't get anything for each other during Christmas time. They wait until like a month or so later.
No, but I was just, I accidentally said every month. I meant it was the fourth Sunday of January. But by saying fourth Sunday every month, the light bulb went off in my head. Maybe why not do it once a month?
That's a good idea.
Just hanging out loud here. Set a spending limit. No one can spend more than $400.
And then 12 Christmas would be the real one.
Yeah.
The first.
And then you'd really have to step it up.
That
would make people try harder for Christmas instead of just getting bullshit.
That's true. Understood. I get bullshit the first 11 months.
That way, if you got an iPod or something for like the sixth Christmas of the year, you would know for the real Christmas, it's going to be pretty great.
Well, then you as a gift giver will really learn not to give things like iPods for sixth Christmas.
Yeah, because you're setting yourself up for...
I'll just increase the giving.
Yeah.
I really like
well,
to see...
Well, in the wrong hands.
So Dave, you host a show yourself, right? A talk show?
Yeah.
What is that one called?
The Dave Hill Explosion.
And how often do you do it?
Once a month, generally. It averages out to that. Sometimes I skip a month. Not every Sunday. Well, it's
every fourth
Sunday. It's sort of, it changes. It's then like in the middle of the month,
mm-hmm.
a Wednesday or Thursday, and then sometimes, I didn't do it in November or December, so... I've been doing it for like a year, and it averages out to, I landed it 15 times last year, which is more than once.
Yeah.
So, that's my, sort of like that.
So you're in a band, you host a talk show.
Two bands.
You do all these, you're in two bands.
Yeah.
They have great names. Valley Lodge, and the other one is a Muckraker.
Children of the Unicorn.
Children of the Unicorn?
That's new though. I'm more of the, my friend Phil, we're both in Valley Lodge, and then he started another band called Children of the Unicorn.
What was the one you were in before Valley Lodge? That had the name of a muckraker?
Oh, Uptown Sinclair.
Yeah, Uptown Sinclair.
Before, yeah.
I love that.
Thanks.
That's I love the punny name.
Yeah. But then the other band, I just play guitar.
What do you, the name of your band is Engine, right?
Yes.
And what instrument do you play?
Bass guitar. Do you guys play anything?
Guitar Hero.
The radio.
That's fun.
I have a TV.
I'm going to get one. That's my plan.
You're not missing much.
Well, there's like a handful of programs.
How do you play like your video games?
I've never played video games my entire life. I'm better than everybody. No, I've always hated video games. Like sometimes I'll play it because in the house there's like shrimp cocktail. You'd be like eating shrimp cocktail was not part of my everyday life. I don't know if it's a good analogy. When kids started playing video games when I was little, I felt really sad about it because we didn't do anything like playing and running around anymore. Everyone just played games. So ever since I was little, I always thought they were like horrible inventions. I don't mean to like bring the room down by saying that. I just think they're really bad.
No. Well, he works at video games.
The thing is, I suck at them, is the real reason. Oh. But I discovered that at an early age. And I think they're great. Some of them, I'm just changing. No, I'll tell you, I like Asteroids, the arcade version. I don't know if there's another one. But in the Tekken games, you know the karate, kung fu one?
Yep.
I'm the best player of that game ever. I don't know what it is, because I don't play video games ever, but except when I play Asteroids in this. But I always win. I don't know, it's like a weird autism that I have. But generally, but I don't do it that much.
You know, another time I've seen you is delivering monologues from your forthcoming memoirs. Are those forthcoming?
In my fantasy world.
I love those. Like, when can the folks in this audience see you perform either the monologues, the Dave Hill Explosion, your in your band?
Well, I do the memoirs all the time because I write them all the time. So I do probably I'm doing a couple shows this week. My Explosion show I'm doing February 15th. Over there at the Upright. So it's, do you say like another talk shows when they go at another so I'll be appearing at another sketch improv theater in town. I'm doing that and then I'm gonna do it at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Nice.
In Colorado.
Awesome.
And
congratulations.
I just found out. So that's my way of just telling you. And then.
And you have a presence online.
I have a web presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a website.
Dave Hill Online, right?
.com, yeah.
That's a great website. If you want to bookmark a website, that's the one to bookmark. That was hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
And informative.
It is, yeah. It's for all information that you would possibly need. I feel really bad about making fun of video games.
I will get a video game event.
I think they're great. I think what I meant about it was that.
You don't have to justify.
But I remember that's true. When I remember feeling really sad about it when I was little.
Yeah, I see your point. People.
Well, it's the same reason like the iPhone. I think is a great invention, but I'm really worried about it. I'm like really worried, spending a lot of time thinking about it, because I think like it combines all the things that keep people from loving one another.
We'll have to try extra hard then. Yeah.
No, well, you know, but I would like to get one. But oh, and I have a TV show coming out in April. On the on TV.
This might have been something alluded to by on a former Spotlight.
That's what I
show.
Understand.
So,
was I supposed to do that to start promoting everything?
Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, yeah. I people want to know where they can see you. I do, at least.
I don't.
They don't? People want to know where they can see you. So, what is the name of the show?
The King of Miami. And it's basically like this video, sort of just me going and doing stuff in Miami, being an idiot. But like, but all Miami centric activities.
Is it going to be on Sundance?
On NHD, it's called, but they're changing it into Mojo. Oh. It's really confusing, but. Mm-hmm. That, do you know the Howard Stern On Demand bus ads?
Yeah.
That's the channel. So it's reputable. But what it is, it's a high definition network.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a high definition TV to watch it, which I don't have.
And the cable box.
And the cable box. I have a cable box.
Oh.
I do. I have it. I think I'm paying for cable. I'm pretty sure that I am actually paying for cable. Because what happened is I moved. Here's why I don't have a TV. I moved to my friend's apartment, and he left all this stuff, like cable box and cable and internet and everything. And then he's like, do you want me to leave the TV? And I was like, no, because I'm sure I'm going to go get it. I'll get a TV. And I just didn't. So that's why I don't have a TV. I just figured I would get a TV, but I haven't.
Do you edit the clips that you do?
No. I mean, I don't technically do it.
Right.
I'll just go stop by and be like, move that thing. Or I'll, I give like little comments and stuff, so I don't know. I only know how to do iMovie. So I've edited some things, but not really. But that's the hard part. Because this takes like an hour to just go there.
Yeah.
But then the editing, that's where all the real work
is. Did you have fun doing that with Ted?
Yeah, it's fun.
Are you in touch with Ted?
No.
Did that guy, or do people you do this with in general, ever feel like you're making fun of them in a way?
Yeah,
you're sort of like putting them on?
Once in a while, but I don't think that I do make fun of people.
Yeah.
Like,
But that you're not, say, taking it serious enough.
Well, he was sort of a perfect person because he was not in on whatever I was doing, but he wasn't reacting to it really. He was just, I think he was really so confident in what he did that as long as I wasn't getting in the way of him doing his thing, I could have done anything probably. So he was sort of a nice balance. Like sometimes, like stuff, because I do videos like this all the time, and sometimes if people are, they just know right away, and then it doesn't work. But then once, I have one guy almost punch me once, and it was the least offensive. It was for Current TV, the cable network. I only do stuff for obscure cable channels. And it was a Current TV is a it's owned by Al Gore and Google. This guy was making the world's record for rubber band balls, and
nice.
He got really mad at me.
What'd you say? Did you take the rubber band ball apart?
No, he said he stole rubber bands from work, and he was like, oh, I stole rubber bands from work and started making this ball. And then later he mentioned tape, and like, I was like, oh, just steal that from work? Like, like not in the way like I thought I was making a hilarious joke, but just in the way that you sort of propel conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're referring to something that someone else said at some point.
Yeah.
And he freaked out. And
you caught him.
And almost killed him. But I just didn't react to it. It took him a half an hour to get him to not punch me. But to sit down and finish talking.
Right.
But
is there a noticeable change in conversation? Like if you're watching it straight, like his attitude is different. He's more aggressive. Or?
Well, he was one of those guys. Like you would think, like a guy who is going for a world rubber band ball record would be like happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah.
Like that's a fun guy right there. Like it was in Oregon. So I thought, is that the light for go home? This is
yeah.
A 15-minute story.
What does it light mean?
It's a Shepard Page light.
That's a cool light. Well, how about, before we wrap up, is there any questions out there in the audience that...
Wait, I do have to wrap it up, though. My point is, though... And then the questions. No, but I walked in this guy's house, and he had a tanning bed in his bedroom, and like a workout, like bench press in his dining room, and like he looked like a date rapist. I don't know what a date, but like he seemed like. So when he almost punched me later, it wasn't that. Not because I think like, oh, he's got a tanning bed. and work on becoming your date rapist. But it doesn't not make
sense. Well, are there any questions for either a poker champion or entertainer extraordinaire? Right? What is it that you classify yourself as to be the amazing at everything in general?
Oh, in there?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty fucking sweet in general?
Yeah. Any questions for...
I think they bleeped that.
On the actual show?
On the Sundance channel.
Huh.
I'd imagine.
Sundance channel doesn't have a bleep,
apparently. Yeah. Yes, Never still has the old control board where that bleeper is so far over there. So I guess if there are there any questions?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For Matt, did they drive you around to like different bridges and tell you to like turn to the camera slowly?
There was a few days actually when we did have field trips for the B-roll where they said you have to stand in front of the bridge and turn your head slowly. So to answer your question, yes. I mean, they did kind of cart our asses around.
All of you, like, how did that make
No, it was just me, because they knew I was going to win. I'm serious.
Oh, it was after the thing was over?
It was after, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Wow.
Just shoehorn it in there.
Wow.
You know,
what kind of that face of, like...
Yeah, the first few reels were just... constipated.
How come the guy said that you constantly remind them that you went to Columbia?
Well, to be honest, they kept telling me to mention it. Like they wanted to create the rivalry.
Because the other guy went to Harvard, right?
Yeah,
Josh
went to Harvard.
Okay.
Columbia won in the end.
That's right.
Columbia spots.
Finally against Harvard and something.
Well, I guess to address Dave's question, is that lightning that we're out of time?
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you very much, Dave Hill, again, for coming and talking to the Spotlight. And also, I'd like to thank Matt Deluxe again for coming to the show. Thank you to Matt Deluxe. Matt Deluxe has a show all week. Frank in the booth, Lewis, who was in charge, and everyone who came to the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast. If you have been on TV and want to be a guest, please visit our website at thespotlightwithseantaylor.com and follow the Be Our Guest link on the left side. If you want to be in the audience at the next show,
sign up for the mailing list and I'll be sure to let you know about all the upcoming shows.